Glory to him who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the last few years, I've had the wonderful, or some might say dubious, pleasure of sitting in the office of about 150 head teachers. For good reasons, I have to actually say. I'm not there for bad reasons. You can learn about a lot about a head teacher, about their school, about what goes on in the school, in 30 seconds being in a head teacher's office. By the books, by how tidy it is, and what posters they have on the wall. In one such office, I saw this. People who read it all tend to agree. Oh yes, they said, that's right. And then, of course, they move on. And they fail to gain the simplicity, the message that it's talking about. But I want to ask the question this morning, what is it that makes us so rich? There are many answers, and I'm probably only going to scratch the surface. But there's the love that God has for each of us, the beautiful world he gives us, the gifts of creation, our family, both in our homes and beyond, enough for our needs, for our comforts, and our interests. But I want to start with a very precious gift, the gift of time. That each day God gives us a new 24 hours. And he doesn't send it with a timetable. I think my wife would like to give me a timetable every day of what I should do and write it down and spell it out. But no, with God it comes blank. That timetable is time for us to use. And we decide how to use it. Sometimes we take it for granted. But you know, you can never buy time. However rich you are, when you come to the end of it, not all the money in the world will buy you another second. Time is this gift from God to us. What do we achieve with our time? What do we use our time for? There's some wonderful phrases. We say, time is well spent. What do we mean by that? Do we use it to build up the kingdom, to enrich others, to bring joy? But there are other sayings too. We let time slide through our fingers. And there's no one will ever say to us, you can't relax, because we have this wonderful picture of God resting at the end of creation. And we can copy that. But if God asks us, what have you done with your time? How would we begin to answer? Another of the gifts, and you've had a glimpse of that slide, which Andy hopefully can put back up, is the gift of creation, where God says to us, I give you this land to rule over it. You will have power. Use it. Enjoy it. And working together, we can grow wonderful things. The variety of fruit, the beauty of the world, the sunset, the sea, the mountains, the valleys, and the flowers. And man working with creation builds bridges, brings people together, harvests crops to eat, for medicine, for fun and laughter. Man takes minerals from the ground to use, all working with creation and harmony. But the next slide is also true. There is also abuse, scars left on our countryside, trees and deforestation, land left desolate and pollution, fish enjoying our plastics. And at the center of that is our greed, because we always want more. And people will blame economics, that everyone needs a job. But some changes are irreversible. Are Christians green? Yes, of course they are. God gives us this land for us to pass on to our next generation, our children, and our children's children. I wonder how proud we might be standing in front of all of these places and saying to our grandchildren, this is yours. Are Christians guilty of this? Well, of course, we might say no. But sometimes we're guilty because we have done nothing. Well, we've had the chance to stand up, and because of our inaction, it's gone ahead. We hate conflict, so we do nothing. But Jesus showed us that there is righteous anger, and at times we need to stand up and say, no, that is wrong. But we're stewards in other areas too. We are stewards to look after our children. God gives to us that most wonderful gift of children. Children are a wonderful gift. And human babies are the most unprotective of all God's creatures. They need us to shelter and guide and educate. Does it matter if the child's skin is pink or blue or green or black or whatever? They are still God's gift to us, and they are precious. We allow them to be abused. Other people come to us who God asks us to take care of in our community. Do we understand that the person next to us on the screen is a gift to us from God for this community? For we all come with different talents to enrich the lives of this, our Christian community. On Mondays in the pub, in the music room, people will say, oh, I've never practiced this for a long time. It can't be very good. And then it comes out blindingly good, and you wonder if they actually practiced it. They'd be absolutely brilliant. What range of gifts God gives to us as a family. The world won't understand it, but we know we depend on one another. We are not the ones who will say the world revolves around us. In that first reading, God gives his people a land rich, flowing with milk and honey. But God asks us to respond, that we give some of that fruit back to him. No, not to make the church wealthy. And the wording, I think, is very strong. Who is this produce for? For the alien. For the unknown one in our midst. For the one that we don't talk to. For the orphan and the widow. For those who the world overlooks, who has no voice, God is seeking through us to protect them. Back to headmaster's studies. This poster was also found there. What do you make about this poster? Andy, can I have the next slide too? Here are four things we spend our money on. And what I want you to do, and I'll give you maybe a minute, which of these four things do we spend most on in a week? And I've averaged it out over the year. And as Jill has threatened to do her jigsaw puzzle during the sermon, I shall come to Jill first. No pressure, Jill. Right, Jill. Gonna unmute yourself and give us a guess?
I think it's very hard to say averaging out over the year, especially at the moment when we can't go on holiday.
Right, I took last year because some of those things weren't in place.
Yeah, I probably spend more on holidays, to be honest. In a normal year, I probably spend more on holidays than I do on church.
And right, so holidays you put the most. How about the second, Jill? This is a guess. It's not saying, I'm not putting you under the spotlight, but what you think.
I think for me, church probably gets the second amount, and I'm a bit ashamed about that now I'm talking about it. And probably coffee gets the next, and I don't really drink alcohol, so that's definitely at the bottom.
Okay.
So it's a very, very salutary question. Thank you.
Okay. Let me give you the answers then. These are averages for the average person, should that person exist. Which of these do we spend the most on? Holidays per week. It averages out apparently at £40.44 a week. Jill, you were very brave to say the church came next, but you'd be wrong. Alcohol is in second place. On average, £16.10. So the question is, which is third and which is fourth? Well, with Sonia's help, we came up with the figure that this benefice, Street and Walton, though I didn't have Compton Dundon figures, spends an average of £9.52 per person per week for the church and God's work. So you can say, yes, it's ahead of coffee. Coffee came fourth at £5.82. But that doesn't take into account what you might spend at home, because they weren't able to calculate that. So what does that tell us about what we see as a priority? What is it that's important to us? I'll leave you to draw your own conclusions about your priorities. Children in our school sing a hymn which is called Love is something, if you give it away, you end up getting more. There's some simple truths in that song. Jesus used parables, and a number of them are about growing mustard seeds and wheat and figs. And God tends and cares us, waters, feed, protects and loves us. But will there be a fruit and will there be a crop in due season? Will all of God's work bring fruit to our lives? And in the case of the fig tree, the end was decisive. In another area in which we are stewards of God's grace, stewards of God's knowledge. What an honour it is to say that. Maybe never hide it away. So when God says to us, what have you done with your gifts and what have you done with your lives, how might we respond? You know, you could even write a parable about talents. I wonder how that would come out. What we do shouts louder about what we see as important. Should we give to God just money? Absolutely not. We have so many gifts, so many things we can do with our time and our actions that can make a real difference. We give because God has freely given to us. And as someone said, you can't outgive God. May our response be from our heart. And I'll leave you with this final poster and the question it poses. which side of the line are you in all of these posters? What questions do they ask? And how would you reply?